Take it away.
So I guess that we are keeping the same theme of crowd storage. So this is our BNL's attempt from crowd storage. I'm Hironori Ito from Brookhaven Lab. No? Is it point somewhere? Where do I point? Oh, here we go. Okay. So I guess I don't see it here. So the idea of the crowd storage is that it would be very convenient to use it as a method to transfer in and out of various various box that the user or the sysadmin has. You know, you sometimes need to copy files between the different different OS or the different hosts, so you can install packages. You want to have some data. You want to move in and out. You know, maybe the Linux farm that you have, and then your desktop might be Mac OS. Excuse me. So in BNL, it has been the choice of the those temporary or place that you can move in and out of various systems has been the AFS. So we can put them, you mount the AFS in various hosts, you put them there, and you get them out in some other host. But recently, it seems to be there's a push to phase out the AFS. So that comes out one of the reasons that we were thinking to do this crowd storage as one of the alternatives. The other thing is the AFS is it's not quite universally available. And it's not the one of the easiest to install if you ever try to use AFS on, for example, in Windows. It's not that easy to do. And the user at BNL has been using this crowd storage for a while, just without knowing their sysadmins like us. And you could name, you know, you could probably name like 20 of them nowadays. So Dropbox, Box, Amazon, Google Drive, you know, MS OneDrive, you know, you name it, it's there. They are, you know, available to use. It's most of the time it's free with some caveat. And it's available almost in every platform that you could name it. Yeah. Of course, there is a limitation. So, you know, they don't give everything free. Sometimes size. Up to some size is free, you know, and cost. And the performance, you know, they don't really tell you what kind of performance you will get for free service. The other thing is the, can you archive data? Now, some of them do, some of them can't. And can you stream data? That is, if you want to do partial read, can you do that? So for us, we are not really targeting, you know, the worldwide audience. We are only talking about the people who have access to BNL. So the first two are obvious. These are us, HEP nuclear physics communities. That's the easiest to identify. And the sysadmins. But then we have at BNL, we have various other domain, science domain that they are actively working on. One of them is Light Source 2. Those are the national facilities. And they could produce data just as much as CERN or the RIC in case of BNLs. We also have nano centers. They have powerful X-rays machines. And they could take also, they could produce large data as well. And that is also national user facility. We have chemistry department. We have biology department. And so forth. And we would like to accommodate all of them with their own requirement or use cases, which is not the same as our general, I mean, our HEP nuclear communities. Oops, I guess this way. So just to make up some starting point, yeah? So target use is, you know, the first one is the small data. Because that's how the crowd storage generally works on the commercial cases. You put small data in, you know, pictures, photo, your cute cats, whatever you name it, right? You put there, automatically goes in crowd. You could show it to your friends and families and your Android or whatever. right? So that's the very first one. And I think that's very easy to accommodate for the size of the data. And then we have the users or the experiments. They could have massive data, you know, the equivalent of, you know, RIC or LHC experiment. And they have different, you know, we have to accommodate in, they have different requirements. So we have to think about how you do that, right? They have a small number of users, but some of the users have a massive amount of data usage. and also, if you want to use it, if you want to store the data, how do you let them access them? Of course, they can use the web page. You know, you could use their Windows, Mac OS, and just view it on a web browser, but that's not really useful for massive data. So you could let them do copy to scratch in some way. That's typical HEP-like method of using analysis. Or you could let them stream data. So you do direct read. And the another thing is how you let them archive. So if you put them there, I'm sure some of them want to archive for permanent cases. So here is our prototype, our BNL box. And just like our sandbox, we decided to use our own crowd. And the reason being that the clients are available almost universally everywhere and free of charge. So you could use them in Linux, Mac, Windows, Android, iOS, you name it, it's there. And for general case, you know, just like any Dropbox, box type stuff, you put files in, it's all, almost automatic. The user doesn't need to know how to configure or anything like that. You just download, install, it's done. The one caveat of this cloud storage is that your local storage, the size of local storage have to match the one that you have in remote or vice versa, because they are synchronizing from A to B. Yeah, they can't synchronize if the size are different. Of course, they have quotas, which is important for sysadmins, obviously. And the user can share data freely, which is also important. And just for the info data for backend for our own crowd, I mean the BNL box, we use Ceph storage. Currently, we have a version of the Ceph we have, and we are targeting a new one to upgrade. The reason being the Ceph is that we really like to have their reliabilities more than performance. So, because we don't really like to, we do not want to really take a chance of losing files. That's the most concern. Right now, the size is about 3.8 or 44 petabytes, being planned to almost double by end of the year. And the performance, and that's performance for the BNL box, not the Ceph, but we are, you know, provisioning about 40 gig. But we could expand more if it need to be. So here is the diagram that we are thinking how this a service could be used. At the top, there's the clients, the mobile app. You know, if you want to show some PDF file, image, plot, whatever, right? And then there's the laptop, desktop stuff. All talk to own crowd or the BNL box. So those are the typical, you know, the stuff that we don't really have to think that much because it comes with the own crowd software. And then there's a worker node. They are also client, but they would like to use, you know, their throughput requirement is a little different. So we were thinking, we already have one, which is we have a custom code, basically copy, but copy to a crowd or copy in and out of the crowd storage. So that's for like a copy to scratch type stuff. And then we also have X-RUD. X-RUD can map. Well, we can do a clever mapping of their data and then visible to extrude to the farm or worker node. The other thing is that we would like to have ability to store data for archiving purpose, right? So we could actually move data in and out from the backend Ceph storage and put them in tape. Like, you know, we have already working dcache, which automatically write to tape. So if you just write to tape, it would get merged to a tape. So we just need to provide some interface that can talk to them. So the first of all, web dev access. This is what the on cloud provides as is. And it does work pretty well for the purpose that I think they are targeting, right? Which is the laptop, desktop type stuff. As much as my practice, I don't know if the SAM, people who are SAMbox have the same experience or not, but I couldn't really push more than 100 megabytes per second from the one client. So, and it sort of makes sense in a sense that the most users don't have that or don't require more than 100 megabytes a second. You know, the spinning disk is not much more than 100 megabytes a second. You have Wi-Fi at most. You know, it's N is about 700 megabits, which is 40 megabytes a second. You could do channel bond, but you know, you could do multiple of that. That's not much more than 100. LAN, desktop, most of the people have 100, you know, a gigabit network on your desktop, you know, unless you are special with 10 gig. So really don't need more than 100 megabits. So it makes sense. Yeah? And that will set the scale of how much data you can put them in and out of the storage from normal default app. Yeah? And you could do the math, and I think I did the math okay. But anyway, so give or take, you know, a few terabytes is okay. But if you want to do more than terabytes, default app won't do it, you know, or you have to be very patient. So for people who have high demand, that is the large data, or you really want to push it quick in and out, you need to do something a little more than default app. And the nice thing about this on cloud, it's a very standard web dev protocol. It's nothing preventing you to write your own copy tools, or you know, you could even use Carl for it. And so I wrote, we wrote a little command that does the in and out of storage. And using that, you could actually easily push 150, 200 megabytes a second per file. And if you can, if you want to stream, you know, multiple stream, I mean, multiple concurrent transfer, you could easily push to the network throughput. So as long as you don't stick with the default app, you know, you are not really limited to the throughput that are provided by the default app. And you can give them enough throughput that the large, large throughput requirement user could, you know, you could satisfy their requirement. The one thing that I noticed, I'm sure people know, is the SSS library that are used does have a big impact on the performance of web dev. So keep that in mind if you try to use it. The car that comes with CentOS 7 or RHEL 7 come with, I mean, it's compiled with NSS, open, you know, SSS library. And that seems to be much, much slower than the OpenSSL if you recompile them. It's tremendously different. It's one-fifth of the performance. So, okay. Now, that's good. So you could copy small or large file in and out and pretty fast. What happens if you want to do a partial read, right? Now, web dev can do partial read, but we would really like to separate the people who are using a standard on cloud interface from the people who does a massive read, yeah? From, for example, you know, hundreds of worker node, for example. Because at that point, we really don't want to hit the front on cloud service, because we already have a data in a Ceph, and we would like to directly access them without going through the top layer. So the way that we are doing is the we have a X3D running separately from the on-cloud, but running from CephFS, I mean Ceph storage. And what we can do is if you look at the how it stores, so if you look at the on-cloud, that's how your pass is provided to you, to your data, on your URLs. And that maps to storage, actual on-cloud service storage, in a way that's shown there. And the one thing I prefer not to show in this case is the username. I really would like to hide the username from the user. So, and that can be accomplished by using extrudes. You could do a mapping of your user to the path, physical path. So user will specify my data, you know, host and my data. And the extrude will translate or prepend the front part of whatever the directory that the user should look for, and they will find it for you, just like the on-cloud does on PHPs. And this way, we don't have to touch on-cloud app, and they can directory access storage. The another thing that we would like to provide is archiving of their data that are stored in VNL Box. So the, some of the user would really going to say that I would like to store this. And there's a, you know, the, in a DOE, we have a requirement. They have to store their data for whatever the duration of time, and they have to keep it, right? And the, for the choice that we have now is the tape. You want to put them in tape, and it's there. But the tape is a different beast, yeah? And the first one that people really should consider is, will the data that you write to tape, is it going to be read again? Yeah? So if you just write it there for archiving purpose and you will never again read again, that makes life easier, but that's not necessarily the case. Yeah? And that is the, and so if you want to read file or data that you read, I mean you write to a tape, you have to think before you write. And that to improve the efficiency or the throughput, right? So in a tape, seek is very expensive. Yeah? And mounting tape is even more expensive. Yeah? It's, you're not talking about milliseconds. You're talking about seconds, sometimes minutes here. So those two are very expensive, and you like to minimize as much as possible. So you want to write it in a way to minimize those operations. So what we're thinking to do is to user to allow to write to the tape area. I mean, their indication to write archive is to write to slash tape. Directory in slash tape of their own cloud or VNL Box directory. Okay? And since we do not have any control of what kind of files or the size of files that they write, and since the tape system really like to have a big files, not the small, many, many small files, right? So we would like to do some clever margin, if you call it. And so we're thinking to do is the, we will limit the size. Anything smaller than 1 gig will be part, I mean, the merged. So that would be fine. I mean, they will be tarred, so you'll be tarred. Any file that are not less than 1 gig, it will get tarred. Up to, you know, whatever the size that will go exceed the minimum size that we set. On the other hand, they might not put enough of them for too long, right? So we don't want to have the file sitting there in this slash tape directory too long because that increases the chance of losing them, right? We really want to push it to the tapes and we will keep it there. So we for the purpose of pushing a file to the tape system, despite the fact that the file might be small, we need to also set some sort of durations. Yeah. So we will be, we'll set some duration. If it's sitting more than some days, it will also put the tape. And we will make index file that will be also stored in on-cloud, so the user will have access to and they can see what they store, as well as the central catalog that we will keep track of. And then they will have a way to restore them through this another web interface. And then the, when the request goes through, they will show up in their own on-cloud directory, say slash restore, and then they will show up there. And these are just a sample of them, right? So you will see them, your directory structure. The user don't see anybody else, just your stuff. Yeah. And some of them have preview if you have pictures. It's typical cloud storage stuff. And this one I want to show is the user can share their policy of sharing, right? So typically in the storage that we have, like Dcache, it's very hard to give them a public share, or user can set their shares, right? Here, the user can set publicly, so you can make it completely public, or they could set the password, or the software will provide a password, and then the owner of the data can give it to the user that they want to share with, right? And they also have the expiration dates. You could set them only open for 2 days, 2 hours, whatever, right? So it would get, you know, their data gets protected after certain days, which is a nice feature to have. The another thing is so if you use any of those apps, the default app, you don't have to share everything. You could set, you know, whatever you like. You know, you could decide which directory you want to share. For example, you know, I'm using my laptop. My laptop is only 128 gigabyte. The storage I have in there is far more than 128 gig. So, you know, you could set which directory you want to share, because I don't want to download data, for example. So you could decide the user can decide what they want to share with or sync with. So here's conclusion. Yeah. The cloud storage could be useful for not just normal average Joe, but also help community or science, scientific communities. They would provide the user very easy way to access their data in almost everywhere. And they can set their own, the user can set their own sharing policies without involvement of sysadmins, which is very nice to do. And that's the another way, that's the on cloud view from the Android phones. So you could access your data anywhere pretty much. Thank you.
So, do we have questions for Hiro? Oh, many questions. Hold on.
You have mentioned CephFS as your backend. Mm-hmm. We are about to deploy something very similar to that on the same size of storage in our institute. So I wonder if you have had experienced any problems with CephFS in particular, because as far as I know, it's not considered to be production quality yet by developers.
No, CephFS is production now. Yeah.
Okay,
it
already.
Is production quality. So, since last summer.
Anything?
We haven't seen that yet, no. So but on the other hand, this is prototype, so it's not heavily used,
okay.
Right?
Thank you.
If I have my files in BNL box and I want to share it with a CERN user, what sort of circles do I have to go in to actually share across sites, or if I want to move from CERN box my files into BNL box, or all the things that we've created for the past?
They do. Actually, OnCloud does have the sharing. Actually, you could set the alternate storage. I haven't tried that yet, but yeah, you could actually bind the multiple cloud storage, I believe.
That's more federation than
right.
Moving data.
I think one of the previous questions answered my main answer to this question, but Kraken's a stable release of Ceph, not a long-term support release of Ceph. What were the reasons that drove you to use Kraken rather than a long-term stable release? I'm imagining it's CephFS, and I'm wondering whether it's also BlueStore.
I haven't started BlueStore yet, so we don't know that. But
okay.
Yeah. I mean, that was a prototype. We started, a while ago. We wanted to use Ceph for the reliability purpose and see how far we can push. Yeah.
Okay. How our on cloud interacts with the Ceph? It's a Some sort of Librados PHP or
We are using the CFFS. So they are mounted locally.
Excuse me?
The CFFS is mounted locally on the host that the OnCrad application
is running. It's a fuse mount.
No, it's not a fuse.
No, mount, okay. It's a real mount. Real mount, okay, thank you.
Okay, any further questions?
Do you plan in the future also to provide direct access to CFFS for the user, or this is?
That's a good question. Yes, somebody would, you know, argue that why don't you just mount a CFFS everywhere, right, in that case, yeah? I guess that it's sort of nervous, yeah? We don't want to provide the CFFS, you know, that since they became just stable last summer. I would say that we should just wait and see. Yeah, we have been using XLD for a decade. We know it works. Yeah, so see how that goes. But technically, there's nothing preventing us to mount CFFS.
Okay. Any last question? If not, then thanks again, Hero.